Brother Hensley, I believe it's time to come preach. Appreciate this man coming this morning. Y'all give a hear to him. Pray for him. Appreciate you.
Man, good to be in the Lord's house this morning. How many glad you saved today? How many glad you headed to heaven one day? Tell you what, appreciate the Lord being good to us. Saved, headed to heaven. Hey, there ain't much more we could ask for this morning. Lord, come by and save us one day. Tell you, God's been good to us this morning, better than we deserve. Hey, look around this morning. Good building to set in, padded pews. Hey, we ought to be happy this morning. God's been good to us. Tell you what, he ought to stir us up when we come to the house of God. David said he's glad, and he said, let us go to the house of the Lord. No better place to be on Sunday morning than God's house. Good to be here this morning. Appreciate you, Pastor, giving us the invitation to come down. And tell you, we got acquainted with him, I guess, about a year or so back, and we've been in two or three meetings together. Appreciate you, Pastor. He's a good man. You ought to pray for him. Tell you, pray for him. You know, a lot of folks don't realize what pastors are going through in this day and time. Devil's attacking on every hand, so you're to pray for your man of God. Hold him up to God. Hey, he loves you folks. Need to pray for him. And appreciate your church putting us up last night, giving us a place to lay down last night and sleep. Appreciate that. Just appreciate this opportunity this morning to be in his house. You got your Bible, be turning to the book of Ruth. Chapter number 2, book of Ruth, chapter number 2. No, my name's Brother Rick Hensley. If most of you probably don't know him, we're from up in the mountains and go to Sullins Branch Baptist Church. Brother Ken Jenkins is our pastor over in Spruce Pine, but me and my family live over in Yancey County in Burnsville, and tell you, we're just old country boy, loves the Lord, and want you to pray for us this morning. Book of Ruth, chapter 2, and begin reading in the first verse. And you know, the book of chapter 2, book of Ruth may be a small book this morning, but it's one of my most favorite books in the Bible, and it's one of the most powerful books. If you ever begin to get in this book and study it and reading it, hey, there's such a wonderful picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Boaz. And man, when you look at Ruth, there's such a picture of a lost sinner needing a Savior here in the book of Ruth. And just seeing what Boaz does for her in this book, book of Ruth. Chapter number 2 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said unto the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of the nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not theretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid. Thou be not like unto thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law she brought forth and gave to her that she had served after she was sufficed. Now there's a whole lot going on here in chapter number 2 in the book of Ruth. And to kind of get us up to speed what's going on, you remember back over in chapter number 1. And if you know anything much about your Bible, there's a lot takes place in chapter number 1 also. Remember, there was a family down in the land of Bethlehem, Judea. And you know, that's a wonderful place to be, Bethlehem, Judea. The house of praise of God down there. I mean, man, that was the house of bread and praise, Bethlehem. That was God's dwelling place. And the Bible tells us in chapter number 1, there was a famine coming in the land down in Bethlehem, in Judea. And there's a family that lives down there, a man by the name of Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Now, when this famine hits, this man Elimelech, I guess, probably begins to look around and wonder what he's going to do. And you know, we give Elimelech a hard time, I guess, a lot of times because he goes down to Moab. But here's a man with a wife and has two children. And he's got to make a decision what he's going to do for his children and his wife. The responsibility was upon him to feed them. There's a famine, nothing to eat there. And this man looks down toward Moab and sees that there's plenty to eat there. And let me say, the Bible said that they went down there to sojourn. And that means just go for a little while. Then that same verse in chapter 1 said they continued there. So Moab, when you look at Moab, Moab, the Bible said, is God's washpot. Moab was a place full of sin. It was full of idolatry. It was full of homosexuality, sodomites. Anything you could think of was going on down there in Moab. So this man up and decides to take his family to Moab. And I know he's probably thought about this a lot, but I believe he probably should have thought a little bit more. Let me tell you something, Mom, Dad. You take your children down to Moab, they may never come back. Bible said they were going to sojourn and they continued there. And you know what happened to those boys and what happened to Elimelech? They died in Moab. So young folks, you better listen. You go down to Moab, there's a good chance you may die there. There's a good chance if you go down to Moab, you'll never find God's presence. Here's a family that's moved into Moab. And you know, it's so sad the day and time we're living in. How many families have moved down to Moab? Hey, we brought Moab right into the house of God's the reason we don't have the power anymore. Hey, this family goes down to Moab, and while they're down there, the Bible says this man by the name of Elimelech dies. So here's Naomi left with these two boys. So one of them's got in Moab and has already died. And while they're down there, these two boys married two girls from Moab. They were messing up when they done that. These girls didn't believe like they did. They didn't believe in the real true God. They didn't believe in the one that was down in Bethlehem in Judea. Hey, you know, that's the reason a lot of marriages don't last today. We've got two marrying each other that don't believe alike. One don't believe in God. One don't believe the Bible, and that'll never work. So they're down there, these two boys marry up with these girls. Time goes on a little bit, and you find out these two boys die also. And here's a woman left down there by the name of Naomi. Her husband has died, her two sons has died. Then here she has these two daughter-in-laws. They're from Moab. And when this is going on, Naomi begins to realize and hears that God has blessed Bethlehem and Judea again. So Ruth decides she's going to go back to her people. She's going to go back home where she belongs. Naomi's going to. So she looks at her two daughter-in-laws and said, well, it's best for yuns if you'll just go back to your people. They believe like you do. You don't believe like my people do. You know, one of the girls was named Ruth and one of them's name was Orpah. That one girl by the name of Orpah looks at her mother-in-law and kissed her. She goes back to Moab and walks right off the face of the scripture. You never find that girl ever mentioned again in the Bible. So I guess apparently that girl probably died and went to hell one day because she went back to Moab. But you got this other girl by the name of Ruth. Hey, she looks at her mother-in-law and says, I'm going with you. You know what she done when she decided to go back to Bethlehem and Judea? She started following God's people. And the best decision she ever made is when she followed her mother-in-law. Hey, she told her mother-in-law she was going to go where she went. She was going to die where she was going to die. Hey, this little old girl, I got to wondering, why did Ruth decide to go back there? Hey, I believe they were somewhere along the line, either her husband or Elimelech or Naomi had mentioned sometime to her about that God back in Bethlehem, Judea. I believe they realized how real he was, how holy he was, and Ruth wanted to go back and find out a little bit about it herself. So man, her and Naomi goes back to Bethlehem in Judea. Let me say, when they get back there, Ruth is going to be a widow from Moab. And in the minds of most of the Israelites, she was going to be somebody to be despised and rejected. Hey, when she gets back there, they could have looked down at her. They could have pushed her off. Let me say, Ruth was just a little old sinner girl looking for a little grace. And hey, when she gets back to Bethlehem, Judea, hey, Ruth has to go. You look in verse 2 and 3 there in chapter 2 where we read. Hey, she was going to go looking for food. And you know, that entertained her going in the field of total strangers. Hey, she was going to have to go look for some food for her mother and for herself. And under the law in the Old Testament, these folks were allowed to go into the fields of strangers and fall in behind the reapers and just pick up a little what was left. They could pick up the trash that was left or what little was left behind, just enough to give them a meal. Now you look there in verse 2. I'm not going to take time to read all that, but back in verse 2, you'll find that she was a little old girl here just looking for a little bit of grace is all she was doing. And you get up to verse 3, you'll find that she found grace and really didn't know that she found it. You know, Ruth didn't know at the time, but God was directing her to the path of a man by the name of Boaz. Now when she gets into the field of Boaz, hey, she walked right into the field of grace. And that's what I want to preach on for a little while this morning, is being in the field of grace. Hey, when you look at Boaz, hey, man, he's a clear picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, why? Hey, you look how he treated people in that field. You look how good he was to them, how he treated those folks, how he associated with them. And you know, those actions is pretty much the way the Lord treats us. You know, the Lord's our heavenly Boaz this morning is who he is. Now, she's got into this field right here. When she gets into this field here in chapter number 2, you'll find that down about verse number 4 through 7 here in just a minute. Boaz begins to do some considering work toward Ruth. Hey, everything he's going to do in chapter 2 is simply because Ruth is there, this work he's doing. You look in verse 4 and 5, the Bible said, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Now I want you to notice something where he's working right here for Ruth. I want you to notice where he's at. Hey, he's present in his field. Hey, this field right here belonged to this man by the name of Boaz. It didn't belong to anybody else. He wasn't in another man's field down the road. He was right in the center of this field. Now, I'm not going to preach anything this morning you've never heard before. Hey, man, I know this is simple. It's straight to the point. But this man by the name of Boaz, hey, he was right in the middle of his field. Hey, you ever wonder where the heavenly Boaz is at this morning? He's present in his field. You know where he's at this morning? He's right here in the midst of the house of God. You know who the most important one was this morning when we walked into the house of God? It was the Holy Ghost. Man, you ought to have been praying for you, God, here that he showed up. Hey, when these youngins got up here to play the instruments, if the Holy Ghost wasn't up on it, it wouldn't come to nothing. Hey, the most important one we need around the house of God is the Holy Ghost. Hey, we're trying to work this thing up anymore. We're trying to work it up. We're trying to do this, that, and the other. But the most important one is Him. You know, He told us He'd never leave us or forsake us. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. Ain't you glad this morning that He's present? Hey, you know, if one person come in the building saved this morning, He's here. But you know, we can quench Him. We can push Him down. You know, the Bible teaches us that He's a person. He can be heard. He can be mistreated. He can be pushed away. But let me say His presence is personal this morning. Revelation 2:1, the Bible said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things. Saith He holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And you remember those seven golden candlesticks represents all the church age, different periods of time. The Bible said He's been walking in the midst of them. You know what He's doing here this morning? He's walking. Hey, He's doing the work that He can only do this morning. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one, man, that can do the preaching this morning. He's the only one that can do the singing. He's the only one that can do anything in this building this morning. I mean, He presents Himself personally to us in the house of God. You say, well, I can't see Him this morning. Hey, you can't see Him, but I can feel Him right now. Hey, you say, well, where's He at this morning? Hey, man, there's something because called the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. John 14:16 said, and I'll pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter that He abide with you forever. Man, how we need Him this morning. Hey, man, we've tried to do it on our own. Man, I've gotten the pulpit before. And just like any other man that's got up to preach and tried to do it on my own, it don't work. Hey, man, you come to the house of God and you can pray, do anything you want to do without the Holy Ghost in it, it'll come to nothing. You know what our nation needs more than anything right now is a great big dose to the Holy Ghost. You know what our Baptist churches needs is a great big dose to the Holy Ghost. Hey, we're looking to Washington to get help right now. We're looking to the State House in Raleigh to get help right now. Hey, it ain't going to come. It's going to come from high if it comes from anywhere else. Yeah, I know we need to pray for our leaders, man, more than we ever have. But man, this crazy bunch we've got in Washington's nothing but a bunch of infidels. Man, they don't believe nothing about God. They don't want nothing to do with the Bible. Man, they need the Holy Ghost upon their lives. You say you believe God could save Joe Biden? He could save him any day of the week if he'd just yield to Him. Hey, we need men that are in these offices saved. You know what's got our church, where this nation come from? It's because the Holy Ghost. It was founded on this book. Man, these men suffered, bled, and died that we'd be able to preach the gospel, be able to hear it this morning. You know why? The Holy Ghost walked with them. You know, a lot of folks think God's dead. No, man, if you ever get in His presence one time, man, you ever get in His presence, man, where that honey comes out of that spout, man, there ain't nothing like that when He shows up and shows out. Hey, man, if he ain't going to show up, we might as well go home. But, man, that presence of the Holy Spirit, hey, Boaz was present in his field. It was a personal thing. You know, I'm glad He comes to me and talks to me. Man, if the Holy Ghost didn't talk to me, I'd be in trouble. I'd be doing my own thing anywhere time I wanted to do it. But man, the Holy Ghost will bump up beside me. He'll say, Rick, you better not. The Holy Ghost will bump up beside me and say, that ain't right. Man, we need to have that Holy Spirit. Look what happened right here in verse 4. Look at his presence, how pleasant Boaz was. He's in his field talking to his men. The Bible said, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And the Lord answered him, the Lord bless thee. Look how pleasant Boaz was to these men that worked for him. Hey, he didn't come in the field being hateful to them. He didn't come in the field mistreating them. He come there being pleasant to them. He come speaking to them in a way, man, that was gracious. He come greeting them in the name of Jesus Christ when he talked to them. Hey, man, you know what the Holy Ghost does? He don't bring strife and trouble. Hey, the Holy Ghost has never brought strife and trouble into a church, into a home. Man, the Holy Ghost greets with the breath of heaven. There's joy in his presence. You imagine working for a man like Boaz, I could imagine him being out there in that field, maybe riding around on a horse. You know him, the boss over everybody out there. Hey, he could have been justified walking up to them men and getting on them, jumping on them for not working right. But he comes up and greets them in a pleasant way. You know, that's how we ought to be. We ought to let the Holy Ghost dwell in us so much, man, that we're not hateful all the time. We don't have an old bitter spirit when we come to the house of God. You know why the man of God has a hard time a lot of times? We come in with an old bitter hatred spirit. We come in with everything in the world on our mind and don't even greet the man of God with joy. We don't greet him with that happiness when we come in. Man, you better be glad when the Holy Ghost come your way one day. Man, he didn't come beat you down. He didn't come and beat you up, but he greeted you with the breath of heaven. Hey, there ain't nothing like that breath of heaven this morning. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, "Will thou wilt show me the path of life in the presence of the fullness of joy. At the right hand, there's pleasures forevermore." Man, that he is so precious to us. Comes to us being pleasant. I know there's time, the Holy Ghost, man. I know there's times that the preaching, man, well, you got to bear down on things. But ain't you glad when Holy Ghost tears your heart up? Yes, sir. He's still tender to us. He still loves us. He don't throw us away, man. That potter didn't throw the clay away, man. When it messed up, he just molded it again in his hands. Man, I'm glad we got a God that can mold us and make us, be pleasant to us, love us. Hey, you look in verse 5 through 7 there in chapter 2. I want you to notice where he is working toward Ruth or how perceptive he is concerning his field. The Bible said, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel's this?" Hey, he didn't miss nothing going on in his field. He's perceptive what's going on. He's out there riding around. Ain't no telling how many people's in that field. And he notices they're one out of place there, somebody he's never seen. I mean, he's perceptive. Man, nothing got by him. You know, our heavenly Boaz this morning, you know, the Lord's eyes are on his church and he misses nothing. Proverbs 15:3, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Hey, we serve a God that sees everything. We serve a God that don't miss nothing. Hey, he knowed who was going to be here this morning and who wouldn't be. He already knowed what songs was going to be sung. Hey, he knowed every thought that was going through anybody's heart. So let me say this, Boaz was on that horse probably riding around. He noticed just the smallest thing different in his field, and that was Ruth. Hey, don't you think for one second that you can hide anything from God this morning. God sees everything we do. Hey, a lot of folks think they can hide their sin from the pastor. They can hide it from the deacon. They can hide it from their husband or wife. But let me say, there's one in heaven that knows. And the Bible tells us your sin will find you out. Hey, your sin will either find you out in this world or it'll find you out at the judgment seat one day. Hey, you young people need to realize at a young age, you might fool mom and daddy, but you ain't going to fool God. Whatever you do, God knows it right now. And it is wrote down and you will answer for it one day. Either at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. Man, we need to realize who's watching us. You know, if you're saved, they've somebody moved on the inside of you called the Holy Ghost. Man, there's a place that Jesus lives on the inside of you that cannot sin. There's a perfect place in there that can't sin. But what you're looking at, this old flesh right here, man, it's a fight between that place in there and this out here. There's a fight between the flesh and the spirit every day. I've heard some people say, well, I don't have no problem with that. Hey, you must stay in the house somewhere 24 hours a day with the lights off by yourself, because you wake up, you're going to have a problem. This old flesh is weak and you better never trust it. This old heart is deceiving this morning. Bible said no man knows it. This tongue is a deceiving thing full of poison. So man, you better be real careful when you decide you're going to slip off and do something think nobody knows about it. You know, these secret sins is what's killing us. Hey, these things that people does anymore that they're not even ashamed of to do openly though. Hey, these things goes on in the house of God anymore. It wasn't went on 30 or 40 years ago. Amen, brother. Hey, these things goes on in the home that wouldn't have went on. Imagine all these things just going on in the school systems everywhere. That's why we're in the mess we're in. People has no fear of God and don't care if God even sees what we're doing. Hey, we ought to be scared to death that God might strike us dead once we say we're saved and go back into sin. Hey, we got so many folks anymore straddling the fence, going here or there, doing whatever they think they need to do. You know, his perception concerning his fields, the Lord's eyes are on his church. But look what he found when he looked in that field. Bible said, whose damsel is if in the service that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Now notice his perceptive right there. He seen what was going on, but his perception got a little more personal. I believe there was love at first sight right here between Boaz and Ruth. Hey, you think about it. Boaz looked out her and saw her and fell in love with her instantly. Hey, you ever stopped and thought about the day that you caught Jesus' eye? I mean, Jesus knowed right where you was at. But that day it got awful special. Hey, can't you imagine Boaz out there maybe riding around on that horse and looking down and Ruth looks up at him. Man, can't you imagine that, how her heart went to pumping and his? Hey, man, they was love right there. Man, I'm glad back July 31st, 1980. Man, in a little old country church, he looked down and I looked up. Man, I'm glad today he looked down. Hey, well, something happened to my heart that's never been the same since then. Now, I ain't always lived right, but I'm glad he loved me enough that day to say, Rick, I'm going to take your sins away. Man, he showed me that day I was lost. Man, I realized that there was a holy God in heaven that went to Calvary one day for a sinner like me. Hey, you sitting here lost this morning. Hey, there's a man by the name of Jesus went to Calvary one day. You imagine what they done to our Lord and Savior. Hey, man, they done more to him before they got him to Calvary, probably than what they did on the cross. Man, you imagine what he went through in them judgment halls. They put that old purple robe up on his back and put a bag over his head and smacked him around, plucked his beard out. Hey, man, that Bible tells us he was marred beyond recognition over in the book of Isaiah. Hey, I don't believe you could even tell he was a man when he got him to Calvary. Hey, they took that cat of nine tails, wrapped it around his body. They said that thing would rip the meat out. It would rip organs out. Hey, I believe the only thing that was left when he went to Calvary is give up his soul. Man, ain't you glad this morning he give it all up for a bunch of old sinners like us? Hey, we ought to been in hell a long time ago. But thank God he looked down, said those folks down there in that church in 2022 will die and go to hell. Man, I'm glad the Father that day turned his back. Bible said it got dark that day. Man, he let it get dark so they wouldn't make a spectacle out of him. Can't you imagine that day when Jesus looked up and said, it's finished? You know what was going on over in the temple about the same time? Man, that priest was in there going behind the veil where he could go one time a year to make intercession. Hey, the Bible said when he said it's finished, that veil was rent from top to bottom. You know what happened that day? There was a new way opened up. Hey, they should have put a sign outside that temple that day. It said, come on in, everybody's welcome. Can't you imagine that old priest trying to sew that thing back up? Hey, man, that thing was so huge, it took the oxen and everything to move it. But ain't you glad, man, we don't have to depend on one man, some priest, to take our sins away? Man, we got the high priest sitting in heaven making intercession this morning. Hey, man, I'm glad he's still in the saving business. Glad I ain't never been lost since I got saved. Never will be lost. Get to go to heaven one day when Jesus comes back. Hey, you don't know him this morning. I don't know any better time they are right now to meet him at Heavenly Boaz. Hey, man, he knows what you're going through. Hey, he looked down and seen Ruth, knowed everything about her. Hey, you'll find out there in just a minute, man, how perceptive he was. In verse 6 and 7, he asked about her background, man, and it didn't even bother him. Hey, she was from Moab. Hey, I was from the same place Ruth was from, down in Moab. Ain't you glad your past ain't got no barrier between you and God? Ain't you glad he don't bring those sins up of things you got into before he saved you? Hey, they'll never be brought up. They was chose to be forgotten. He'll never bring them up. We'll answer for what we've done since we've been saved. But ain't you glad your past ain't no barrier with God? You say, well, I've done this, I've done that. It don't matter what you've done, where you come from, what side of the tracks, what family you come from, how much money you got. All that matters this morning is Jesus is dealing with your heart. You ask him to save you. Hey, there's no little ones and no big ones with God. You know what I do mean you a whole lot of good a lot of times if we just get me and my out of the way and let God have his will and his way? Man, he's a God of glory this morning that loves everybody. It don't matter what color your skin is, what race you come from. Hey, your past is no barrier to God this morning. You ain't done nothing too bad that God can't take care of. Hey, you look at in the New Testament, his ministry, where he stayed around all the time. Hey, he is around where the prostitutes was at. Hey, he is around where they got caught in adultery. He didn't run with them scribes and Pharisees that thought they was better than everybody else. Hey, I'm glad he'll come to somebody like me. I'm glad he'll come to that and it's down there up in the holler somewhere nobody cares about. Hey, I believe he'll climb right in a prison cell with somebody and save them. You say you believe he can save a murderer, he can save a murderer. You say you believe he can save a homosexual or a lesbian, he can save them if they're willing to come to him. But most of them's not willing to do that. They don't want to let loose of their sin. Hey, man, he can save anybody. Your past is no barrier with him. Hey, you look down in verse 8 and 9 in chapter 2. Look at some of this work that he was doing here for Ruth. The Bible said, then he said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence abide here fast by my maidens. Hey, I told you this was things that you've heard plenty of times before. Look what he looked at her and commanded her to do. Told her not to go glean anywhere else. Told her to be steadfast in his field. You know, Ruth didn't know it. But Boaz had a plan to take care of her. You know, if she abides in this field, hey, she's going to enjoy the best he's got. All she's got to do is abide there. And you know, that's same true for the saved people. You know, if we abide in the field, man, God will bless us beyond measure. You know, the reason that a lot of people's not, they want to glean here a while and there a while. They'll come in one church and cause trouble there and go to another and cause trouble somewhere else. They don't want to get on a pew and sit and glean. Learn from the Lord. You know, a steward is to be faithful this morning, man. Be faithful in everything that he's doing. How faithful are we in the field God put us in? How faithful are you to the house of God, to your church? How faithful are you to your pastor? Man, you think about these things. If we would just abide where God put us, how much God would really take care of us. You look in verse 9. Look here at some of this work he's doing. He's doing a commanding work concerning Ruth's safety. He said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Boaz commanded his men right here, you leave this girl alone. Don't let anybody else bother. You know what Boaz was doing right here, pretty much telling Ruth? He's telling Ruth, said, Ruth, you can trust me. He said, don't worry, you can trust me. You know, that ought to be a big lesson to the church this morning. Hey, we can trust him. You ever stop and ask yourself, though, how much do I really trust the Lord? Just in certain things and certain affairs? I mean, I'm afraid that we just trust the Lord in certain things anymore. I'm afraid that we just trust him at certain times. You know, we've kind of made him a God of circumstance. When things are going real good, we don't need him. We can make it on our own, but the second something bad happens, we want God. Why would he answer after we treat him the way we do? Hey, why would he answer us after we walked on him? When he's blessed us the way he does, when he's been good to us. We've made him out to be a God of circumstance. But you know, we'll trust him in certain affairs, but what about trusting him in everything? I don't believe we'll ever get anywhere with God till we totally trust him. When we totally trust him, we throw our hands up and say, well, he can't do it, but you can, God. Hey, man, when you just totally trust him, it's been, I guess, about a little over 3 years ago now. Man, everything was going good, and my family's life and everything. Man, I'd worked for the last 35 years, most of the time, anywhere from 10 to 14 hours a day, 5-6 days a week. I always worked, never stopped. Come in from church back in, I think it was May of 2019, the last Sunday night in May. Went in the kitchen, sat down to eat a little bit of something. Next thing I know, I woke up in the hospital. Woke up in back of the Hamlets, had about 3 or 4 seizures, never had a seizure that I knowed of. Been having some problems with my balance and stuff before that happened. Lord, they put me out of work, wouldn't let me go back to work for 6 months. 6 months rolled around. I'm not belly aching. I'm just telling you a story. Couldn't go, but wouldn't let us drive or nothing else. 6 months rolled around, lost her job, wouldn't let us go back to work. Lord, that's been going on now 4 years. We've been in the hospital, 5-6 times down at Duke, weeks at a time down there, different tests run. And man, there's some days we couldn't even hardly been able to get around on a cane sometimes, hobbling, falling all over the place. Finally found out, I think, about a month, it's been about going on 4 years, finally found these things, first stages of Parkinson's. But God's been good to me. Hey, them youngins ain't went without eating one meal. Hey, we've made it better the last four. I mean, I was working 10, 12 hours a day. They won't let us go back. Now, I like to went crazy the first year. Get up every morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock, go to work. Then that happens. I still wake up every morning about that time. I mean, man, you're used to doing things. I mean, it's a big change. Hey, I've got to do more stuff with my kids than I ever have. You know, them young as watches me is unlike a baby. I can't get out of their sight. That boy and girl playing there right beside me, my wife, I woke up on the floor. There ain't no telling how many times her standing over top of me, my wife. I mean, but God's been good to me. Hey, it's just one of them things that I've got to go through, get used to. It may be something to help somebody else, I don't know. But God's still God no matter what happens. He's still in control. We can't question him. Hey, these times that I've got down and prayed and everybody else, you can ask God why. I mean, there's no reason you can't. But there's some things I don't believe we're ever going to know till we see him. Hey, you ever thought about the day when he comes back, we're going to see him as he is, we're going to be just like him? Hey, this old body won't never stumble around anymore. One fellow they said back there had cancer. Hey, that cancer ain't going to be found in heaven. Hey, we're going to a place, it ain't going to get dark. There ain't going to be no sickness. There ain't going to be no devil or any of this stuff going on. Hey, it's going to be a place we're going to get a body like him. Hey, I got a baby on the other side that I'm going to get to see one of these days. Hey, man, I believe as sure as I'm standing here, me and my wife will probably hold it one day. Hey, there's a place that we got to go to. Hey, look in verse 9 there. He's talking about Ruth's supply. How he's talking about, he told them men not to touch her, let her drink of the water. Hey, he's doing a work right here concerning her. Hey, you know, we serve a God this morning, friend. It's got a vast supply for me and you. Matthew 11:28 and Psalms 23 said he's rest for the weary. John 7:37, Psalm 23:2, he's refreshment for the thirsty. John 6:35 and Psalms 23:5, he's food for the hungry. Psalms 23:5, he's healing for the injured. Psalms 23:5 and 6, he's hope for the discouraged. Psalms 23:4, he's sheltered for the frightened. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, what more could we ask for than a Savior like him this morning? Hey, he's been good to us today. You look in verse 10 through 14, I'll be done here in just a minute. But you look at his comforting work right here. And look at the amazement that Ruth is showing. The Bible said, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Hey, Ruth has been humbled by everything he's done. And notice, Ruth is still looking for a little bit of grace and not realize that she's walked right into a field of grace. She's still looking for this, and Boaz is blessing her. Now notice this announcement that Boaz makes in verse 11 and 12. The Bible said, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of the nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knowest not. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz tells Ruth about right here. He knows about her deeds, about her faith. He says, I know what you've done taking care of your mother-in-law. He looked at her and said, there's going to be a payday for that one day. And let me say, people may look at you sometimes and don't understand why you do what you do for Christ, or why you do this maybe for somebody else or something. Hey, there'll be a payday for it one day. We need to remember, man, there's going to be a reward. People may not understand, but God will reward us for our faithfulness. You look there in verse 13, look at Ruth. She's still appealing right here, still looking for grace. The Bible said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid. Thou that I be like unto one of thy handmaids. She's still looking for grace right here and has not realized she's found. You know what she's doing? She's just simply wanting to please Boaz. You know what helped me and you more than anything? If we just got to the place that we just simply want to please the Lord. Quit trying to please everybody around us. You know, we get in a real mess a lot of times trying to please this one, trying to please that one, try to bend over backwards for this one. You know what we need to do is forget all that and just try to please the Lord. It don't matter what somebody else thinks. It don't matter how they look at you. We just need to please Him. That's all He wants us to do, just simply please Him. You say, well, how do you do that? Just simply start your day off by praying a little bit. It'll please Him. Read your Bible a little bit. It'll please Him. Hey, walk right. Treat people right. It'll please Him. You look in verse 14, he does some things right here, Boaz does, that shows he's accepting her. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. Look, he sat down with her right here, close enough to pass her the corn. We said a while ago, your past ain't no barrier between you and God. Hey, he knowed who she was, but it didn't matter. He sat down and eat with her. Hey, she was brought into a position of nearness. You know, I'm glad he'll sit down with me, man, and forget my past. I'm glad he'll sit down with me. And this Bible said over there in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Hey, ain't you glad that he's got a desire just to sit down with us? Hey, you look what Boaz does for her. When she leaves the table, When Ruth left the table, man, she was satisfied. He sufficed her. You know, there's no need for any child of God. You know, there's no need of any child of God to not be satisfied. Hey, there's no need for us to come to the house of God and not leave satisfied. There's no need for us to get down and pray and not get up being satisfied. You know, we need to enjoy Him to the fullest. Man, we've been blessed to the fullest. I don't believe people's honest. I don't believe He's ever disappointed anybody. Hey, there's no reason for you not to be able to pull up to the table and get full around God's house. Hey, I can go to the house, just seat him back, and we get up in the mountains, pull up my mom and daddy's driveway, go in the house. Man, I can go in there and open that refrigerator and get anything out I want to eat and set it down on the table. Man, I can get just as full as I want. Man, ain't you glad we got a God in heaven, a Father, that we can just pull up to His table and eat anytime we want to? Hey, you don't have to be in the house of God to eat from His table. You can be riding down the road. You can be laying in the bed of the nighttime. Just pull up to that table and get full. Man, we're not getting what God wants to give us. Man, there's no reasons for us to leave the house of God empty. There's no reason for us to go home and be empty. Man, we got a table to pull up to. Man, and that God of glory is taking care of it. Hey, Boaz done some concealing work right here also down in verse 15 through 17. I'm not going to take time to read it, but after Ruth left the table, Boaz continued to work in her life right there behind her back. Man, there was a work of providence going on. You know, the Lord's always working behind our backs. He's always doing a work of providence. What did He tell these old boys to do here out in the field? Man, He looked at them and told them, man, when she's walking back there, let them drop some of them handfuls of purpose. Like a lot of them old preachers, you say them handfuls on purpose. Man, I've had some of them handfuls dropped on me at times right out of nowhere, not even expecting it. Hey, you ought to stop and think about all them handfuls that God's give you. Man, that day He saved me by His grace was the greatest handful He's ever given me. Man, to think about all them times He's took care of your family. You didn't know where this bill was going to get paid at. You didn't know where the money was going to come to put food on the table or where the power was going to get paid at. Hey, you may have even been that way in this church sometime in the past, wondering how this was going to happen or how that was going to happen. And God drops a handful. You know, God blesses us sometimes just because He can. Just to show us how good He is. Just to show us how real He is. Man, He blesses us on purpose more and more and more. Hey, why would me and you want to glean anywhere else than around where God's at and them handfuls of purpose? Them handfuls just falls out when we least expect it. Hey, has God ever just loaded your wagon every now and then? Hey, you look what happened. There was a work of plenty. When she left that table that day, or when Ruth left the field, she had enough to feed her and her mother-in-law for a week or more. Hey, God just ever loaded that wagon. Hey, we got so much, though, we just take it for granted. I mean, He just load our wagon every once in a while. And we don't even stop and thank Him for it. We're real ungrateful a whole lot. God, we'll go somewhere to eat or even sit down at the house and never even bow our head and thank Him for that food. Man, ain't you glad God's got a storehouse? You remember over there back in the Old Testament, there's a famine come upon the land one time. And remember there was a man by the name of Joseph there, and God put him over the land out there. Before that, there was going to be 7 years of plenty, and there was going to be 7 years of famine. Remember, He told Joseph to go out there and gather up all that grain and corn and store it up. He had it stored in each city. It was easy, accessible to everybody. But you know, He didn't open it up till that drought started. Wasn't done no good to open it up till then. Hey, you may be in a drought this morning. You know, God's got a storehouse. He blessed Ruth right out of that storehouse. Man, that old Joseph had a storehouse full of grain there. Everything in that storehouse as he had was good for those people. Everything would strengthen them, get them by, help them to live and grow. Man, I like getting God's storehouse every once in a while. walking over there where that shelf of grace is at and that shelf of mercy. Man, how many times you needed to get in that storehouse and that shelf of grace and mercy, he just dropped a handful on you. Dropped a handful of love off that shelf of compassion. Man, he's got a storehouse just like Joseph had over there. Man, we need to realize this morning just how good he is, that heavenly Boaz. Hey, you know it's the same God that took care of Ruth that's taking care of me and you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Boaz seen everything that was going on. Looked past her past life, didn't bother him one bit. You know, you're sitting here lost this morning. God will look past your life. He loves you just the way you are. Hey, you young folks this morning, God sees everything you do. It's not hid from him. If it's all right, I want you to stand to your feet for just a minute. I'm done. We're just going to be quiet for just a minute and bow our heads.